for argument is Dobby v. Illinois Department of Corrections. Mr. Rooney.
May it please the Court. Mr. Dobby, an African-American inmate, filed a three-count civil rights complaint stemming from a white prison guard's hanging of a noose at the prison where Mr. Dobby is housed. The district court, acting under the screening provisions of Section 1915A, dismissed with prejudice each of Dobby's claims. We believe that each of those rulings was wrong. First, the district court dismissed Dobby's 8th and 14th Amendment claims based on the hanging of the noose by relying on cases that have held that isolated racial slurs do not give rise to a constitutional claim. But a noose is fundamentally different than a racial slur. Rather, it's more akin to a powerful, racially motivated death threat.
Now, at some point, one of the internal affairs officer told Dobby he won't have to worry about hanging nobody because he just hung himself, meaning the officer who had hung the noose. So how long was that after the incident?
That was approximately about a week, it might even have been 4 or 5 days. What happened, Mr. Dobby saw the noose and then prepared an emergency grievance and also requested a meeting with the officer who hung the noose, that officer's superior, and that prompted Internal Affairs to investigate the claim. And while Internal Affairs was interviewing Mr. Dobby and the other inmates who witnessed the hanging of the noose, another officer called on the phone and told the Internal Affairs officers, we went down to the control room and we in fact found the noose. And that's where that conversation referenced.
So now the officer who had hung the noose, what happened to him?
Nothing. As far as we know, nothing happened. Mr. Dobby did not
receive... He wasn't transferred or anything? He's still there?
As far as we know, that's correct, Your Honor. Mr. Dobby filed the noose incident happened in late January of 2007. Immediately after, he filed a emergency grievance, then a secondary grievance. It was investigated by Internal Affairs. Ultimately, Mr. Dobby was transferred from Menard to Stateville, and it wasn't until September, so approximately 8-9 months later after he filed the grievance, he's still complaining. What happened to the grievance? I haven't heard anything. And his counselor just told him, they didn't find the news. There's no evidence to support it, so your grievance is denied. So that's all we know about the grievance, that it was denied and apparently nothing happened. As far as we believe the district court erred in relying on the cases about off-the-cuff racial remarks, and I guess 2 points here is, one, the noose is obviously a symbol of hatred and violence, much different than a mere verbal harassment. And the historical significance of the noose cannot be overstated. Indeed, many states have considered or, in fact, passed legislation, anti-noose legislation, and there's a anti-noose legislation currently pending before the U.S. Congress. Moreover, unlike off-the-cuff remarks, the officer here there was a lot more time involved. This wasn't merely...
Was there previous hostility between this officer and Dobby?
There's no evidence of that, and in fact, Mr. Dobby had never had a disciplinary report or any issues at the prison, and so it wasn't. So as far as we know, there was no animosity between the officer in question and Mr. Dobby.
Mr. Rooney, didn't the allegations of the proposed complaint indicate that the noose wasn't specifically directed at Dobby? It was there were others, other African Americans among the folks working at that time.
Yes, Your Honor, there were four janitors working, three of whom were African American.
And I understand your point that it's a matter of hostility toward any African American, but was it specifically directed at Dobby? What did he allege about that?
He alleged that the officer hung the noose, swatted it back and forth. This was about approximately 20 minutes that this took place. and Dobby said that the alleged that the officer looked down at Dobby and the other inmates, and you know Dobby's words were he looked down with evil eyes and a threat, and Dobby felt it as a threat to his life, and then immediately started filing these grievances asking to be transferred and was worried about retaliation. So the allegation was it was against Dobby, you know, and the other inmates.
These guards are white, I assume?
Yes. And they're, and it, although one guard braided, you know, took the time to construct the noose and hang it, there were five guards in the main control room sitting there playing cards while the one sat there, swatted the noose back and forth for 20 minutes and stared down at the black prisoners. So, you know, there was more than one guard here. The and the second claim he brought was the retaliation claim. The Dobby filed the grievance, and then about 3 weeks later, while he's performing his work as a janitor, he's scraping wax or dirt off the floor, and one of the guards starts harassing him. And this was a guard who was involved in the investigation of the incident. This guard starts harassing Dobby, who had never had any problems with his work as a janitor.
Yeah, but even if it's harassment for the grievance, you have to show the grievance is constitutionally protected, don't you?
Yes, Your Honor. And we submit that the filing of a grievance through the prison's grievance machinery in and of itself is constitutionally protected.
That's pretty broad. Every grievance? I don't understand. Why? Every grievance is protected by the First Amendment, or what?
That's our position. Any grievance that you file about the conditions of your confinement is constitutionally protected. The cases that deal with the public concern as opposed to a mere personal gripe, the courts that have used that have drawn from the public employee context where there's a prisoner who complained about his pay during his prison job. He didn't file a grievance. He just had inquiries about his prison pay. And the court there drew from the public employee context and discussed the public concern requirement. And even in that case, everybody acknowledged that, well, this isn't a prison grievance.
Yes, but what if his grievance was just that, you know, he worked in a prison kitchen or something, and he was supposed to be paid 25 cents an hour, and they only paid him 20 cents an hour, so he wants another 5 cents times some number of hours. That's protected by the First Amendment?
I think the act of filing the actual grievance, which is a prerequisite to filing a Section 1983 claim, would be, although his underlying claim might not, at the end of the day, might not have merit, the actual filing of the grievance itself is protected. And I just think
I mean, that seems so remote from the concerns of the First Amendment. You know, expressing yourself, political views, aesthetic views, what have you, scientific views, but just a squabble over some prison regulation? Why would that be First Amendment material?
I would characterize that as just simply petitioning the government for redress of his grievance, whatever that grievance is, and petitioning the government.
Then every judicial every filing in a court or administrative agency or a complaint to a municipal electrical company that they billed you incorrectly, all of that is protected by the First Amendment? That's a little extreme.
Well, here I think, you know, filing through, this is a prerequisite to filing.
Your point is, so you're saying every lawsuit is a petition for redress of grievances. Therefore, every preparatory step in a lawsuit, exhausting some administrative remedy, that's all protected also.
Even if the court finds that too broad, I don't think there's any question that the public would be concerned about white prison officers in our state prisons hanging nooses and threatening black inmates with an emblem of terror.
Yeah, but you say the retaliation occurred. Now later he tried to publicize his grievance, right? Writing newspapers and so on.
He did several steps through the way. Yes.
The retaliation you mentioned about the waxing the floor, that happens before any of this publicity, just after the filing of the grievance.
He files a grievance. There's an interview process with the officer who ultimately harassed him. And he also wrote letters to the wardens, to papers before this. And the officer who was in there during the interview and investigation of the grievance then harasses him, files a trumped-up disciplinary charge against him, which at the end of the day results...
That's another retaliation. That's not just the waxing the floor or whatever they were doing.
It was related. What he said was he was harassing him while he was waxing the floor.
You're saying that he had already publicized his grievance when the harassment occurred?
Yes. And as far as the letters to some of the news agencies, I believe he did before that, but he definitely had filed emergency and secondary grievances before that time. And it's just too coincidental for him to be at Menard for 5 years, and then lo and behold, 3 weeks after he files his grievance, he's disciplined, fired from his job, taken, his commissary privileges are taken away, and he's locked in C grade. So, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Rooney. Next case for